You just talked about you just talked about the Chargers taking somebody at number five from Notre Dame. Who?
Joe Alt.
Is that?
Offensive lineman.
Yeah.
All right, here's
I've got my metrics.
So you went you went down the correct road. Are we recording yet?
Oh,
we are.
Of course we are.
Are you not? Are we not interested? Welcome back to the podcast.
Okay, sure. Let's do
the unfiltered or whatever the fuck the name is, unrestricted.
You had it right last week.
I was kidding this time. We're at the Bexler Palacio. Palacio? That sounds like somebody's last name. The Palatial Studios of Jeff Bexler here today.
Yeah, we are in my study, broadcasting today because we couldn't get downtown because of the River Parade. I mean, not the River Parade. The Battle of Flowers.
Battle of Flowers.
And if you guys look out the window, that's where everybody's parking to go down to the Battle of Flowers parade.
That's wonderful news.
God. Yes. I mean, I know Fiesta is a big thing for the town and all that, but I hate it.
I'm kind of with you. I'm not all in on Fiesta. I might do one event per year, and that's the rest of it. I get the joy of missing out. JOMO.
It's an outdoor drink fest. What else is it?
No, that's
nothing more than that.
I mean, yeah.
They all are.
NYOSA is horrible.
However, and let's touch on this because we'll go down this road real quick. So this past Saturday, I was at a Fiesta event with Wally's Food Truck.
Oh, nice.
At Port San Antonio.
Oh, that's right by my work.
So did incredible business. I made 83 sandwiches, something like that, on Saturday afternoon.
Great.
It was just a great event, but they didn't have any alcohol there. So people just went to food trucks or whatever, ate, walked around. There was a couple of rides for the kids, but that's all it was.
Okay.
And so, there's a guy that was next to me that was making turkey legs, chicken on a stick, funnel cake, and lemonade.
Uh-huh.
That's it. And I put on social media, if you want to make a good living in San Antonio, get a couple of your friends together, buy yourself a trailer, make funnel cakes, chicken on a stick, lemonade, and funnel cake throughout the year, and you will make a bang-up business.
Really?
Yes. No, there's no question. That guy could have just kept selling it until it was dark.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
I wouldn't want to eat any of that, but I guess other people do.
Of course. That's got to be, those are the staples of Fiesta.
They kind of are.
Bob gives me the finger.
And lots of ankles. Ankles. Beer. Wow.
Ankles?
Ankles.
What? Holy crap. Were you staring at me, Bob? Is that what it was?
Perhaps I have mouth Bell's palsy.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Okay. So the other take on Fiesta is that there's a lot of talk on social media that people are getting gouged during Fiesta.
Price gouged.
Yeah, beer is all of a sudden $10 a bottle. The food is incredibly expensive. Let me just put this out there for you folks out there listening to this podcast. Wally charges $8 for a sub. That's it. I've reduced my price a dollar since the last two, three months. You know why? Because I'm not greedy.
That's good for you.
I mean,
that's awesome.
I learned supply and demand in eighth grade. When the demand goes up, the price goes up because the supply is limited. Of course, the price is going to go up.
Yeah, but that's not fair. You can't gouge people in San Antonio for Fiesta.
Fiesta's always been, to some degree, a gouge. I mean, I've always felt that way.
It is.
Is it worse now than it was before?
Yeah, apparently it is.
Okay.
But $5 for a beer is, that's expensive. That's not gouging anybody. You're not ripping off anybody. That's what you expect to pay $5 publicly.
Restaurant price.
Sure.
Yeah.
But if I got to go pay $10 for a beer, that's outrageous.
That's gouging.
Yeah, yes.
That's Alamo Dome.
You're greedy.
That's Alamo Dome or Frostbank Center prices.
You're just being greedy. Yeah.
Okay. We got a lot to talk about. We got to do the draft. We got to do the NBA. But I'm really curious. Walter, before the show, folks, hinted that he had some very interesting take on the female species. And I'm really curious about what this could be.
Well, we were going back and forth just as we started recording this podcast about Jeff's got a couple of kids in the house, one of them being a girl, and she's, crying out, mommy, mommy. And so that's how the conversation started.
Okay.
And so I've been lucky enough now to have the experience of raising a daughter who's 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured out where all the I don't know how to, what's the best way to describe this?
Well, pre-show, you called it a disease, I think.
All right, that's one of they. The disease of women. I figured out where it started. It started when they're younger, because the young girls, the kids, they are allowed to get away with anything from their mother.
Mm.
And that's where it just continues to evolve. So when you criticize your female partner as you get older, this is where it all comes from. It comes from when they were young and their mothers allowed them to get away with this, get away. Oh, well, that's just how girls are raised. No, it's not. Change it.
Let me ask you, do you let her, your daughter, that is,
I have
get away with everything?
I have absolutely no control over my daughter.
So there you go. Maybe that's the problem.
No, that's not the problem.
Maybe the problem is you.
No, I took care of my son. My wife takes care of my daughter.
Oh, I see.
I haven't talked to my daughter in 3-4 days because she was rude to me and said, move. I was like, there'll be none of that. And then my wife tells my daughter, you better apologize to your father. You know, why don't you just text him? And so I get home. I said, can you believe it? My daughter texted me today to apologize. She says, well, that's what I told her to do. I was like, really? You told her to
that's
text
half,
me?
Half ass.
It's like, that's not gonna apply. That enrages me even more.
Yeah, really.
Text me? I live in the same goddamn house. So that, folks, is the explanation of the disease is born.
You know, if Maimonides had only listened to Walter,
I know, right?
We wouldn't have any rules on apologies.
You're so right. But I will say, Bob, having a daughter, and admittedly, my wife and I do, not entirely, but we do split the duties a little bit where I raise my boy and she raises our girl to the majority, right? I mean, I'm certainly involved with my daughter a lot, but to a large degree, my wife is teaching her how to be a lady, and I'm teaching my son how to be a man.
I can't remember my daughter's name half the time, so
that's even worse.
No, just kidding.
Who's that? I will admit, Eloise walks all over her mommy. She walks all over. She gets whatever she wants, and she never gets yelled at. Never. Okay? And if daddy raises his voice, she just crumbles. She just crumbles.
Yeah.
So I can't do that. I can raise my voice to my son anytime. He's fine. He can take it. But she just crumbles. And to some degree, she does kind of have me wrapped around her finger.
This may be groundbreaking. Maybe I'm the only one who knows this stuff. No. Come on.
All right. Where do you guys want to start?
Anywhere. I don't care. Well, let's start with the NFL draft because that's the most recent thing.
Okay. I have to admit, I did Fiesta last night. I did not see any of
does that
the draft.
You're still drunk? Just
a little bit. I'm on my second cup of coffee. Tell me what happened. I mean, I see the big surprise is Penix to Atlanta. We'll get to that. But, walk me through it.
I mean, it was mostly chalk through, like, the first five picks. I mean, the big surprise for anyone who had a mock was the Vikings didn't trade up to 5 and pick the Chargers pick. So the Chargers picked Joe Alt from Notre Dame, and everything else was mainly chalk. What amazes me about the draft, and I texted you guys this morning, the draft, no action, a bunch of people talking, people walking to a lectern, and people walking away, is going to draw more eyeballs than the NBA championship.
Which I think is so weird. I am not an NFL draft, Nick. As much as I love the NBA draft, that's how much I can't stand the NFL draft. I can't... Here's my pet peeve. You got a bunch of couch potatoes who get all up enraged about a fifth-round offensive lineman from Boise State that you never fucking watched. You don't even know who that guy is. Don't tell me you've broken down his metrics. I can't stand this shit. You just talked about the Chargers taking somebody at number 5 from Notre Dame. Who?
Joe Alt.
Joe Who Alt. Is that?
Offensive lineman.
Yeah. All right, here's oh, yeah. No, I've right. got I've got my metrics.
So you went down the correct road. I can't take it because I've heard this on the radio for the last 2 weeks from national guys, people that have been in the league, people who have played NFL football, and they criticize the fans for saying, tell me, how many games have you watched of Joe Alt?
Yes.
Well, guess what? General managers and scouts, they've watched every single freaking game of Joe Alt. And you know what? They still got to get the goddamn picks wrong. They still can't figure out who the quarterback should be. So they're just as stupid as all of us fans who have an opinion. So those all, you know, the one thing that used to bother me to no end was Greg Popovich, who used to criticize and say, you know, how many games have you played in this league? Well, you know what, Pop? We've watched just as much basketball maybe as you have over the years, and we know what sucks and what doesn't suck, so suck it.
Well,
that's all I'm going to tell you.
That's a hot take.
Leaving aside the Spurs and Popovich hate, what amazed me also was there was more people in downtown Detroit than I think live in Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of people live in downtown Detroit.
It was packed. It was packed. And what amazes me is they do their crowd shots as these teams make their pick. And let's just pick one out of a hat. You know, New Orleans Saints fans who are sitting there ready for their pick. And then Talese Fuaga gets picked.
Who the fuck is that?
He's an offensive tackle from Oregon State. I'm looking at a website. That's
okay.
The reason
okay.
Why I
all
know.
Right. Good.
But their fans are in the audience going, or in the crowd going, yeah, yeah, so psyched, so psyched. Do you even know who this guy is?
There's no way.
No, but
could you
they're
pick
not
him out
breaking
of
down film on this guy.
But the real football fans aren't at these draftings. You used to see this at Madison Square Garden all the time when the draft is in New York City year after year. All the Jet fans love this. Those guys aren't going. They don't go to the games. Those are freaking homeless people they stick T-shirts on. Are you kidding me?
But sometimes they get it right. Remember when the Knicks drafted Frederick Weiss?
Yes.
And the entire Ooh. Knicks crowd went, boo! Boo! And of course, Frederick Weiss got like dunked all over by Vince Carter like
because
a month later.
They wanted the hometown guy. I think it was one of the kids out of St. John's.
Yeah, but, yeah. It was who was that?
But what's his name? That went
was
for
it Ron
the,
Artest?
Yes, it was Artest.
It? Okay.
One of the big other things in the draft was six quarterbacks went in the first 12 picks, which has never happened.
Never
before.
Happened.
That's
before.
Crazy.
That is
especially
crazy.
Since I don't know about you guys, but I'm not dead sure on any of them. I don't think any of them is a lock. Well, I thought Andrew Luck was a lock. Once in a while, you get a lock. I don't think there's one this year.
Who knows?
Although the last time you had six quarterbacks in the first round, three of them ended up being Hall of Famers.
Yeah, that was the 93 draft, the big quarterback draft. That was the last big one.
And I mean, the other takeaway is you didn't have a defensive guy picked until pick 15.
Crazy. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. What was his position?
Edge rusher.
Okay. All right.
Latu is his last name. I can't pronounce his first name.
Go ahead.
Cowboys go offensive line as expected. Tyler Guyton from OU. And the thing about the Cowboys is this is a real solid pick. They are gold when it comes to offensive linemen and selecting in the draft. And you would expect the same thing here. The last four offensive linemen that they picked were all Pro Bowlers. So Cowboys, and they traded down, so they got themselves another pick. I'd expect them to...
They traded down?
Yeah, they traded down
traded
a couple
back.
Spots.
Okay.
Traded back.
Yeah.
Got a third-round pick or second-round pick, whatever it was.
Well, that's smart.
And they're going to get a running back, and most of us think it's going to be Jonathan Brooks, the kid from Texas, although he's coming back from ACL surgery, but when has that ever stopped the Cowboys from selecting a player that's injured?
Yeah, the Cowboys have done that and done well with that before.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
They got the guy with the dropped foot. That didn't work out well. So
yeah. Speaking of Longhorns, any Longhorns go last night? I think Worthy went to the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, and then there was – and Murphy went as well. So there was, I think, two Longhorns went.
Nice.
Which is different than it's been over the years because they have been nothing.
Yeah,
Texas hasn't given anybody to the draft because they've been terrible.
And not to go too deep into the weeds, that was a weird. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs trading up to the Buffalo Bills and basically draft raping the Bills, taking a wide receiver and just reloading. I mean, I thought
made no
the
sense.
The Bills needed offensive weapons.
Why would the Bills? That made no sense. The Bills trade their pick to Kansas City, and Kansas City picks a guy that the Bills should have had.
Yeah, because
the Bills need weapons.
Yeah, they lost Diggs.
Yeah, and they lose out on the fastest guy in the freaking draft, and Xavier Worthy out of Texas.
That's stupid. That's bad from the Bills, isn't it?
Were there a lot of trades last night?
Coming into the draft, they were talking about how it might be the most traded first round ever.
There were some weird trades. Your Jets, Wally, trading back one spot was weird to me.
They don't have a second round pick, so they needed more picks, and they got a fifth out of it. So.
Yeah, they got two late round picks and had to give up one later for it. But I mean, I guess the Minnesota Vikings were worried that the Broncos were going to come up and pick McCarthy at 10.
Yeah, so they made an offer to the Jets they couldn't refuse, which is fine.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll talk about with the Cowboys. And I heard this a lot, and obviously this is still a big story about when will the Cowboys sign Dak? Will he sign? Here's the story with Dak. I think this is pretty simple to me. I wouldn't sign Dak Prescott until the end of this season coming up, because let him deliver the Cowboys a Super Bowl. And if he doesn't deliver a Super Bowl, you know what you do with him? You cut him, and you let him go, and you finish with him, and you move on, and you start over. Because if Dak doesn't win the Super Bowl this year, when is he going to win the Super Bowl? So why sign him? Why would you? The Cowboys would be nuts to sign him to a $60 million contract for 1 year.
From a football perspective, I think you're right. From just an X's and O's perspective, you make a great point. But we know Jerry Jones has to have somebody on the marquee. And Dak is his guy on the marquee because there's nobody else currently. I guess CeeDee Lamb could be that guy, but somebody's got to throw him the football.
Yeah, they'll find a corner. And again, if Dak doesn't deliver the Super Bowl, I think we'd all be pretty much reserved to the fact that he's never going to win them a Super Bowl. But if he does, then Jerry can pay him whatever the hell he wants to pay. He can give him an oil field for that matter.
Who's the last quarterback to win the Cowboys a Super Bowl?
Troy Aikman.
And actually, Jones is just waiting for more leaves to fall. That was his quote.
What the hell does that mean?
We'd like to see more leaves fall.
The hell does that mean? That's some nebulous shit.
Something about the quarterback market and letting it flesh out a little bit.
I think it's pretty clear, though. You can go out and get yourself a quarterback at any time. Anytime. And find a guy that's serviceable that can win you games and maybe get you to the Super Bowl.
You could get Kirk Cousins, who apparently was up on the stage at the Atlanta Falcons draft party as he was getting a call from the Falcons front office going, "Hey, we're thinking about picking a quarterback here at 8. You going to be okay with that?"
You know what?
For Atlanta,
I think it's a smart move. You have Kirk Cousins on a short-term deal. That's how Kirk Cousins operates.
Short-term? $90 million guaranteed over the next 2 years and $10 million guaranteed in that third year.
Ten in the third? Okay.
And Michael Penix is like Walter's age already.
Is he really that
old? He's like 25.
I didn't realize he was that old.
My age? Not quite.
I didn't realize Penix was that old.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? You're going to leave Penix behind Kirk Cousins for two more years? That doesn't make any sense.
I understand that from a quarterback development perspective, but not an overall eighth pick to do that with.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point.
You got Kirk Cousins. You sign him to that kind of money to help you win games and win the Super Bowl. Why wouldn't you get him weapons? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Did Atlanta fall into the "we need the next Michael Vick"?
I don't know what who knows what the hell they're doing.
I don't know. I'm making the left-handed quarterback analogy.
They drafted Kyle Pitts last year and never used him.
That was 2 years ago, and Kyle Pitts hasn't done shit. Yeah.
My problem with Kirk Cousins has always been he's going to be statistically really, really good. He's only 78-70-2 over his career. It's not exactly that he's really like throwing some heat out there.
Yeah.
He's going to rip your heart out in the fourth quarter. He's not going to win you playoff games.
Yeah. Can see that.
He's a perfect quarterback for the Cowboys.
There's not a lot of difference between Kirk Cousins' stats and Dak Prescott's. Take a look at that. They're pretty much the same guy.
All three of them. Romo, Dak, Cousins. They're all the same. Numbers, guys.
God, I thought Romo was better than those two others. Right. But
anyway, let's move on to the NBA playoffs, shall we?
Yes.
I was all geeked up for the Sixers and Knicks last night. Knicks let me down. Sixers just responded in a big way. But they had to. They were down 2-0. They were home for game three. They had to win that game. The Knicks got a couple of calls in game two, but so did the Sixers. And people want to argue about calls and all that kind of stuff. And listen, officiating, it goes both ways. It always does. It always evens out in the end. So don't get too crazy over the whole thing.
I don't think it always evens out in the end. I disagree with that.
Okay.
But you know, calls do make a difference. It helps when you're at home. You see the Magic went home last night, played like a different team than they did on the road against Cleveland. Let me talk just kind of...
That's the least interesting series to me.
It is, and it has been. I thought it was going to be more competitive, and none of the games have been to this point. But let me give an umbrella of the playoffs so far.
Okay.
There have been a shit ton of amazing games. Like, have you guys been plugged into this stuff? I know a lot of it is...
I've watched most of them.
A lot of it's kind of after a lot of people's bedtimes, unfortunately, the West Coast games.
I love that.
I don't want you to hate me, so I'm not going to tell you the truth.
You haven't watched the game, have you?
I love watching the late games. I love the 10 o'clock, whatever they're on, and I'm sitting there drinking a beer, whatever, while everybody's upstairs sleeping.
I love it, too. It's my private time. It's a great time.
I wanted to see a more competitive Denver-Laker game last night, but the Lakers didn't show up. They quit. They're done, and they're out.
And I'm so happy that Jokic owns Los Angeles.
What's crazy about that is...
So happy.
So the Lakers are leading at halftime in every one of these games so far. They've led at halftime, and then they just...
So that's just it. I know that it's 3-0, but again, these games in a microcosm of each game have been great games.
Yeah.
Like really, truly great games. And the OKC series has been really entertaining. I mean, it's just been a lot of great basketball. So the reason I love that Jokic is 12-0 against Los Angeles in his last 12, the reason I love that so much, isn't he the antithesis of a Laker? Like, he is the exact opposite. He wants no attention. It's not me, me, me. It's team, team, team. He's like, he is the exact opposite of what the Lakers have stood for.
He's anti-Hollywood.
Yes, he's anti-Hollywood.
He's anti-everything. Once he gets off the floor, he wants to go to Belarus somewhere and hide.
He's fucking Tim Duncan.
He's a hockey player.
I can see that.
He's a hockey player. Have you ever listened to interviews with hockey players? Hockey players are just like that. All about the team, all about the line, all about the other guys, nothing about me.
They love what they do, hockey players, more than any other
sport. I mean, he's like the opposite of every major Laker in my lifetime. He's the opposite of Magic Johnson. He's the opposite of Shaquille O'Neal. He's the opposite of Kobe Bryant. He's the opposite of
LeBron James.
LeBron James. I mean, he is so not look at me. He's not a show-me guy. I just love that he has dominated. The only guy that could have done it and made me happier, and he did do it, was Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give you this. Dallas and the Clippers tied at 1. Two teams I just absolutely can't stand either one of
Same.
Them.
Same.
I hate both of them.
Yeah.
I want the team buses to crash into each other. you mentioned Oklahoma City, very impressive, but New Orleans doesn't have Zion, so who really cares about that series? I don't.
I those games have been competitive, though. I guess game two wasn't
as
much. Yeah,
but I really want to watch Zion and see what he can do in a playoff game, and he's not there, obviously.
Allegedly, he's only 10 days away. We'll see.
And Boston took another playoff game off, no surprise.
What is their problem? Why do they lose concentration? This Heat team is bad without Jimmy Butler. That's not a good team.
Yeah, you can't lose to them.
And they lose concentration. There's something about the Celtics that makes me think, even though they have all the talent to win it all, Walter, they're not gonna.
Now, did you say you watched the Laker game? Did you watch the Laker game at all last night?
I watched the fourth quarter of the Lakers game.
So maybe you saw this because I think it happened in the fourth quarter. You actually got a shot of Diane Cannon.
I did not.
All right. So Diane Cannon, if you don't know, if you're a younger person, Diane Cannon was a TV star maybe back in the 70s, maybe.
I mean, a million years ago.
Yeah. So, and she was pretty back in the day, has a beautiful lock of hair. That's what I'll give her. She sits front row right behind the basket at Staples Center. She is 87 years old.
Holy shit.
Because I looked at her, I go, my God, she just looks terrible. And I thought, how old is she? Oh, she's 87. Okay.
Cut her some slack,
Yeah,
Jack.
It's okay for a woman to look terrible when she's 87, because that's what happens.
At what age is it not okay for them to look terrible?
When I'm dating or marrying you. How about that one?
Embarrassed and distancing.
Wow. Okay. Speaking of I'm going to change gears on you 100% here.
All right, give it
to me. Speaking of... embarrassing distancing. How about the protests that went on at UT campuses this week?
Yeah, and everywhere else in the country.
And correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, you can peacefully protest in this country, can't you? Oh, unless, of course, you live in the state of Texas and you can't. And you're
well,
not
there's
allowed,
a lot of things you can't do in the state of Texas.
And you get arrested. I don't understand that. I don't get it.
They were stopping the flow of students. I mean, that's how it works. There were other, I mean, in
so
the state
public
of,
university, you can't arrest people for protesting. And they were being peaceful.
In the state of New York, they removed the students from Columbia. Mm-hmm. How's that any different?
I don't know exactly what took place in New York because I don't care what goes on in New York. All I know is those people at Texas were protesting peacefully, and they have every right to do whatever they want to. It's a public university, but the governor decided after he said, you know, you have freedom of speech in this state, you know, back a couple of years ago, decided to lock up all those people. And, of course, they were all set free yesterday.
I have stayed out of commenting on this entire thing, but now I'm going to.
Okay.
So a couple of nights ago, my wife and I went to the coronation. Do y'all know what that is?
Uh-huh.
You would. You would not. Coronation is the LGBTQ plus satire of the coronation, right? Okay. The King's Ball and all that crap. They do skits that are politically charged all night long. Very Saturday Night Live-esque. They roast a bunch of people. Everybody from Biden to Greg Abbott gets roasted.
Okay.
And it is hilarious. It is.
You have to check your phone at the door?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
I'll show you videos. They're hilarious.
Okay.
It's lewd. There's, you know, drag queens performances. It's the LGBTQ. Oh,
don't let Greg Abbott know about this.
Well, they can perform. They just can't read to kids.
That's right. It is hilarious. My wife and I have gone for probably 15 years in a row. It's one of my favorite things, and the only Fiesta
racist
event that I go to 100% of the time. So,
do you have black face on when you go?
Why?
I don't know.
It's got a big nose.
What are y'all talking about?
I don't know. I'm just riffing off.
Okay, so we're in the theater. We're watching this thing, and up on stage, they mentioned something about our shitty representatives in Washington. And you hear boo, which I don't blame that at all. And then the dude next to me goes, "Free Palestine!" And the girl in front of me goes, "Free Palestine!" And I go, "No!"
No, that's it.
And they looked at me like I was an asshole. And I was hoping afterwards that they would want to know why I said that. And here's why I said that. Do you think you could have that coronation in Palestine?
No,
absolutely not. You get thrown off buildings for being gay or queer or a queen in Palestine and the rest of those countries, with the exception of Israel. That's the only country in that region that would allow any kind of gathering, anything similar to what we were attending the other night. I cannot believe the liberalism, the lost liberalism that supports Hamas and the rest of what happened October 7th and everything else. It is unfathomable to me that they have somehow manipulated this into sympathy from the left.
I just want to be clear. I'm just talking about the ability to protest.
I understand.
The state of Texas just locking those people up is just mind-boggling. And it made me think of the other story that's in San Antonio. You got some protesters that are sitting in the middle of the Central Public Library downtown because apparently there are assaults that are taking place inside the library downtown.
I have not read
this. So the people that run the library said, you know what? We need to get a little police force going on here and have them visit here. And these stupid assholes, protesters, were saying, this isn't what we want. We don't want police presence in here. This is a free space. It's like, are you kidding me? You got people getting assaulted outside the library in the parking lot, and you're worried about a free space? You don't have a free space when people are getting assaulted, you jackass.
Can't have it both ways.
So protesters are good and bad, but they still have the ability to protest.
The right to peacefully protest absolutely is fine by me.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And to your, you know, Palestine Gaza-Israel thing, the one thing that's going to come out is, one, my personal feeling is the Israel government has gone too far in what they've done.
I agree.
But what is going to happen when this is all over is there is going to be a peaceful debate and argument in Israel about what they did and what they did right and what they did wrong. There is not going to be a peaceful debate unless the form of government in Gaza changes.
That's right. What does this have to do with Wembanyama?
Oh, my God. The Coronation had a great Wembanyama skit. It had a great Wembanyama skit where he was birthed. He was an alien that was birthed.
Oh my
it
God.
Was amazing. I got to see if I can find it online. Okay. If I can find it online, we'll put it to our website. Okay. It is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
All right, I got a couple of things here because we're running out of time because I need to get the hell out of here and get to my food truck this morning. A lot of talk about how impressive OKC has been. I think we can all agree OKC has done their rebuilding better than the Spurs. And they haven't won anything anyway, obviously. Yeah. But this problem the Spurs have had is their drafting has been very poor. I mean, you know, they haven't been able to find their next Manu, their next Tony Parker, their next Kawhi Leonard. Instead, they found Primo and his penis. They found Luke Samanich, Keldon Johnson, who clearly needs a change of scenery, Lonnie Walker. Those are the people that the Spurs have brought in, those first-round picks, and they haven't worked.
Walter, can I give you a quick take on that? The biggest difference between the Spurs rebuild and the OKC rebuild, the Spurs had a star in DeMar DeRozan. The OKC Thunder had a star in Paul George. They were separated, if I remember correctly, by one offseason leaving those places. The Spurs sent off DeMar DeRozan, and they got diddly shit. They didn't get a bag. When the Clippers traded for Paul George from OKC, the OKC Thunder got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a bag of picks. It was like five picks. Yeah. It was double or triple what the Spurs got for DeRozan. Now, you can make the argument that Paul George is a little bit better than DeMar DeRozan, but DeMar DeRozan's been really good for the Bulls since he went up there, right? I mean, he's been very good.
He's an average great player. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
I'll say this. He's a player that nobody really wants because it's not an NBA player that teams want. They want three point shooters, and DeMar DeRozan is not one.
No, but you do see my point.
Yeah,
the Spurs had a star, and they got. I don't know, 30 cents on the dollar by comparison to what the Clippers got. And let me say this about OKC. I'm with you. They are doing a great rebuild. What I do not understand is at the trade deadline this year, with 20-something picks coming their way in the next, 4 years, they had a chance to go out and make a move that would have given Chet Holmgren a backup. They could have gotten a guy... They could have gotten a guy who was a difference maker for their sixth or seventh man, and instead they went and got Gordon Hayward, who isn't even playing important minutes for them.
Don't understand.
They should have cashed in a couple of those picks and gotten Chet Holmgren some backup help, because that's the one glaring weakness with them, is that they don't have a lot of size. And if they have to go up against Jokic, they're going to get killed by
him. Absolutely. Absolutely. They went about it the right way, but they're just not getting the right players. NBA players poll came out this week. Had 142 players voted in this. Wemby was voted the best defender. Still remains to be seen whether he'll be the defensive player of the year. It certainly doesn't look like he will, from what I saw, the leaked votes that came out this week.
Saw that, yeah. He's not going to get enough.
I don't understand. That makes no sense. Gobert's going to win again, which he doesn't deserve to.
And if the players say by far in that athletic poll that he's the best defender in the NBA, shouldn't we be listening to them?
Yeah, I'm with you. Absolutely with you. Some polling. 54% of men say Trump respects women a lot or some. that's hilarious.
That's a joke, right?
I can't believe that. 33% of Americans 30 or younger get their news from TikTok.
Not for much
longer.
Is
that ridiculous? How crazy is that?
Not for
much
longer.
I didn't even realize there was news on
TikTok.
Neither
did I. That's why I thought it was nutty.
Well, I mean, it's years ago when everyone said that The Daily Show was the trusted source of news.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's funny.
And it
that's
had funny. More news content on it than the actual news.
All right, well, I got one more for you.
Anything?
Then, yeah. Kenny Loggins goes another year without getting a Hall of Fame nomination.
Oh,
to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Man. Explain this to me. Cher is more deserving?
Yes.
Cher?
Yes.
You got to be kidding me.
No, we're not.
Jesus. Cher?
Cher could, I mean, listen, there's no way that Cher was ever a better musical artist than Kenny Loggins.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. Nor was Ozzy Osbourne, for that matter. Couldn't even put a fucking sentence together.
No.
When
Kenny Loggins
British
dresses
idiot.
In fishnets and dances on a battleship, fine, he can go in the Hall of Fame.
That's a Cher joke. He doesn't remember that video, obviously.
He can't hold back time.
The other athletic.
That is such,
nice. That was good.
Yeah, but nobody will understand that reference nor care. Oh, that was a Cher song back in the day? Who knew?
Turn back time.
God,
yeah.
These three guys are the lamest assholes ever.
The other athletic poll that I found very interesting was when they polled the players, who would you most like to play for? Head coaches.
Yes.
Eric Spoelstra was number one.
And
right
number two?
Behind him, Greg Popovich. So for all the people who say Greg Popovich is driving players away, eat a dick.
So yeah, but I'll tell you this.
Walter?
How about the NBA players are a bunch of liars?
You think?
How many times did they beat the Spurs door down to come play for Greg Popovich? Let me guess. None. Never. They all want to play for Pop, according to this poll, but I don't see anybody beating the Spurs door down to come here and play.
I still think he's a net plus if you are in any kind of negotiation to get a player in via trade or free agency. He is a net plus being in that room.
All right, so if Greg Popovich is a big lure to come and play for the Spurs, why aren't they?
Because I've told you this a million times. There aren't that many free agent deals. They're just aren't that many. Dallas has had Luka Doncic for how many years?
Sure.
And they've got
they don't trade
no
teams. I get you.
They've got no free agents.
Who is the player that came out this week that said, I always want... It was Blake...
Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin said this week he always wanted to play for Greg Popovich. It never worked out.
Okay.
How badly did you want to come here and play? You can make it happen. What do you think? We're all fucking stupid? If Blake wanted to come play for the Spurs, he certainly could. Hey, agent, I want to play with the Spurs. I don't care what they're paying. That's all you got to do.
That's true.
Yeah, but no agent in the history of agents has ever said that to a team.
By the way, last place in that coaches poll, Tom Thibodeau, head coach of the Knicks. Yeah. Last place.
And all the Knicks players said, go F yourself. You don't know what you're talking about. We love playing for Coach Tibbs.
I got to tell you, I love how hard they play for Tibbs. I really
they
love
do.
Watching that team.
But
it's
the
weird for me to say that because I've hated the Knicks my whole fucking life. I've never liked any of their players or their teams. And for once, I absolutely love watching their team.
That's it. Jewish night is canceled at Madison Square Garden.
That's good. That's a lot of Jews. That's like a synagogue. It's like...
So public service announcement.
Anything.
If you're ever seeing your friend be eaten by an alligator, run over it with your car.
What?
Yeah. Florida man.
Of course it was. Yeah.
Drove home. Apparently his neighbor had his legs inside of a gator, an 11-foot gator.
Oh, my God.
Ran over the gator.
That works?
Yeah, it worked.
Just the gator go, and opens its mouth. Is that
the gator does something.
Spits him out.
Wow. I'm glad we don't have that problem here.
Thank God. We got plenty of problems.
Did you ever see the movie with John Boyd and they're in the jungle? It was Anaconda.
I did see that
so
movie.
Anaconda, the big ass snake, swallows John Boyd whole, and you can see the outline of John Boyd's body slivering down the body of the anaconda. Freaking hilarious. Especially because it's John Boyd, who turned out to be just as big an asshole as there is. So there you go. Okay.
He did?
Yeah.
What happened with John Voight?
He's another MAGA idiot.
Okay. Oh. Well, guys, what are y'all doing this weekend? Are you doing Fiesta?
I got to get to work.
Yeah, me too.
Staying away from Fiesta. I'm going to go watch the Titans play again tomorrow night, the San Antonio Titans. So watch some semi-professional football. I got to do laundry on Sunday morning.
It's great, Bob.
Very intriguing.
I got to polish the furniture and, I can vacuum and put my skirt on.
Well, have at it, you guys. Hey, thanks for joining us on The Unrestricted. Like and subscribe.
Whatever.
Thanks for hosting us.
Yeah, this was nice.
Thanks for the coffee and the donuts. Cheap ass.
donuts were offered.
How y'all feel out there? Do you feel good? I said, do you feel good? Come on.
The groove feel good when it make you move. Make your next move your best move.
Uh-huh.
I said, the groove feel good when it make you move. Make your next move your best move.
Uh-huh.